Evidence and Answers begins right now. This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Both Jesus and Muhammad have shaped the beliefs of millions of people throughout history. But when we compare their chronicles, their claims, their conduct, and the confirmation of their message, the contrast is dramatic. Did they proclaim the same message about God? Or do their teachings point in a completely different direction? If you've missed any part of this broadcast, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this message entitled, Jesus and Muhammad, Examining Their Chronicles, Claims, Conduct, and Confirmation. You will also find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right into part two of this fascinating message.
But we also have non-Christian historical works, Jewish works like the Talmud and Josephus, and Roman works, Tacitus, Pliny the Younger, Suetonius, Thales, and more. And these are hostile witnesses. They don't like Christianity at all. And yet what they write confirms the message of the Gospels. And those of you in the legal field know when hostile witness affirms your story, that's some of the greatest proof in court. And as historians and archaeologists, same thing. Okay? When you have enemy attestation, that's some of the most powerful evidence in history and in court. Not only that, we have over 5,600 ancient Greek manuscripts that confirm our New Testament has been accurately preserved and passed down to us. And being in the field of archaeology, thousands, not hundreds, thousands of archaeological discoveries that affirm people, places, and events of the New Testament. It's absolutely astounding how much archaeology there is that confirms the historical accuracy of our New Testament. So there's a contrast in their chronicles, in their biographies, all right? But even more striking is the differences in each man's claims, what they claimed about themselves. Muhammad claimed to be the prophet of Allah, all right? A man and a prophet of Allah. It says in the Quran, if you will read the Quran, chapter 29 of the Quran, yet they say, why are not signs sent down to him from his Lord? Say, the signs are indeed with Allah, and indeed I am a clear warner. And it is not enough for them that we have sent down the book, which is rehearsed to them. Verily, in it, it's mercy and a reminder of those who believe. So the critics come to Muhammad and say, you claim to be a prophet. Prophets are confirmed by miracles. God confirms his message and messengers with miracles. And that's consistent with New Testament teaching. And in response, Muhammad says, well, I don't have any miracles. They belong to Allah alone. And he says, my role is simply to warn and deliver revelation. And he says, the Quran itself, okay, that is the sign. So here, Muhammad claims miraculous signs are with Allah. He is only a messenger of Allah. In chapter 46 of the Quran, he says, say, I'm not something original among the messengers, nor do I know what will be done with me or with you. I only follow what is revealed to me, and I'm only a clear warner. And so this verse in the Quran stresses that Muhammad simply follows the revelation and functions as a messenger, as a warner, not as any divine being. Now, the claims of Christ stand in stark contrast to Muhammad, for Jesus claimed to be the unique, one and only divine Son of God, God incarnate. The claims that he made in John 8:58, when the religious leaders came and said, who are you that you have this authority to teach as you do? Are you greater than our father Abraham? And quoting Exodus 3:14, Jesus said, before your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. And they said, you're not even 50 and you claim to have seen Abraham, who lived a millennia before. And then he says, before Abraham was, I am. Quoting Exodus 3:14. And they knew exactly what he meant. He was claiming to be God because they picked up stones to stone him. when he said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Once again, they picked up stones to stone him for blasphemy. And Jesus claimed authority that everyone knew only belonged to God. He claimed to have authority over the law of God. He claimed the authority to forgive sins. That's something only God can do, right? If I walked in here and I said, I, by the power in me, forgive all of you of your sins, he would say, all right, send that guy to the hospital. He's claiming authority he doesn't have. Yet Jesus claimed that authority and confirmed his claim by miraculously healing that man in Mark chapter 2. Jesus claimed the ability to give life. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm the source of life. Well, in the Bible, it's clear. Only God can give life. Only God can create. Only God can give life. Only God can restore life. He is the only one. In the book of Exodus, chapter 8, the magicians were able to mimic Moses' miracles until the miracle of gnats. Right? He turned the dust into living gnats, and at that point, the magician said, this is the finger of God, because only God can create and give life. And Jesus says, I am the life. I am the resurrection. That's claiming authority, clearly, that only belongs to God. This man is making claims only God can make. He claimed the ability to give life. He claimed the ability, the authority to judge all of mankind. He said, the authority to judge has been given to the Son. Well, every Jew knows on Judgment Day, we stand before God. And Jesus said, well, I'm the one you're going to be standing in front of. Only God has the authority. He claimed to be God on several occasions and the long-awaited Messiah. And he allowed others to call him God and even worship him. Islam rejects the deity of Christ. That is shirk. The unpardonable sin of blasphemy. In the Quran, the idea that Jesus is the Son of God is blasphemy, worthy of death in the Quran. They do blaspheme who say God is Christ, the Son of Mary. But said Christ, O children of Israel, worship God, my Lord, and your God. Whoever joins with God, God will forbid him the garden, and fire will be his abode. In the Quran, Jesus says, don't worship me as God. You know, if you do, you're going to end up in hell. Clearly opposite of what the New Testament teaches here about what Jesus said about himself. Muslims claim that we worship the same God and the same Jesus. Not possible. Is Jesus the divine Son of God? Or is that committing the unpardonable sin of blasphemy? We're not worshiping the same God here. We're not saying the same thing. What we're saying is mutually exclusive. Both can't be right at the same time. Either Jesus was wrong and committing blasphemy, or indeed he was who he said he was. And the fact that we have documents go all the way back to the eyewitnesses confirm that we have an accurate record of what Jesus said about himself. Both men make radically different claims. So the two men greatly differed in their chronicles, in their claims, and third, they greatly differ in their conduct, in the lives that they lived. Muhammad was as fallible as any man. Several times in the Quran, he was commanded to confess and repent and turn from his sin. And Muhammad ruled as a warlord, all right, and he spread his message through the sword. Several times in the Quran, chapter 40, Muhammad is commanded to confess and repent and turn of his sins. So be patient indeed. The promise of Allah is true. And ask forgiveness for your sin and exalt Allah with praise of your Lord in the evening and the morning. So Muhammad is told to seek forgiveness for his sin. This is critical because in a lot of Islamic theology, Muhammad is taught as the sinless, perfect prophet. Yet in the Quran, I had a Muslim screaming at me, saying that sin was taken out of Muhammad's chest when he received the call to prophethood. And when I finally was able to talk, I said, the Quran says, commands Muhammad to confess and seek forgiveness of his sin. And they said, where? And I finally got to show him. Chapter 48 of the Quran. Verily, we have granted thee a manifest victory that Allah may forgive you your past and future sins. So this refers to forgiveness for the past and future sins of Muhammad. And Muhammad was a warlord. He assassinated his critics. All right, it's in his biography. Abu Afaq, a poet who was 100 years old, wrote a poem criticizing Muhammad, and Muhammad had him assassinated at night. Marwan, a mother, pregnant mother, and also a poet, criticized Muhammad, and she was assassinated at night by Muhammad's men. You know that Muhammad, in the Quran, taught men are allowed 4 wives. But Muhammad had a special revelation that he could have more. So he had up to 14 wives. His youngest and favorite was Aisha, who he married at 6, and they consummated their marriage at 9, when she was 9 years old. That was part of the life of Muhammad. And Muhammad spread his message by the sword. He was a warrior. He was a warlord. Ibn Ishaq records that Muhammad made a living raiding caravans with his army in Medina. Later, Ishaq records, and you can get the biography, that he fought in 30 wars. Surah chapter 9, Muhammad teaches you how you are to treat the unbelievers. All right, you either convert, you meet the sword, or you live as a second-class citizen paying the jizya tax. That was the life of Muhammad. Remarkably different from the life of Christ. Okay, we could go on and on about the life of Muhammad, but we'll stop there. But look at the life of Christ. Jesus claimed to be the divine Son of God and confirmed it through his miraculous, sinless life and resurrection from the dead. Jesus was sinless. John 8, he challenged his opponents. He said, well, what sin do you convict me of? And they couldn't name anything. They said, well, because you claim to be God. Okay, that's all they could come up with. Even his enemies found no fault in him. Pilate, who cross-examined him a couple of times, ends up looking at the crowd and saying, I've cross-examined this man, and I find no fault in him. And Pilate tried to set him free. And when you look, the night before he went on trial, the religious leaders tried to find an accusation they could level against Christ. The religious leaders were together in the house of Caiaphas. Matthew 26 says, now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against him, and they couldn't find any. So it says they were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. They couldn't even get a false witness placed on this guy, all right? The best they could do, finally, was to raise a charge of blasphemy that he claimed to be the divine Son of God, in which he really was. Jesus taught the highest moral teachings, and he lived it. His final words on the cross were what? Father, forgive them. And so Jesus lived a miraculous, sinless life. No other man can make that claim or has that record. In fact, even the Quran says that Jesus was sinless. Chapter 19 of the Quran is one of those passages where the angel announces to Mary, I'm only a messenger of your Lord to announce to you the gift of a pure son. The Arabic term pure means sinless, blameless, or untainted by wrongdoing. No other prophet or figure in the Quran is described with such an adjective as at birth. Chapter 3 of the Quran, the angel said, O Mary, Allah gives you good news of a word from him whose name will be Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, honored in this world and hereafter, and the one of those brought near. He will speak to people in the cradle. So as an infant, he got up and he preached a sermon out of the cradle. I'd get a heart attack if my son did that. And in maturity, and will be of the righteous. So Jesus is called the Word of God and righteous, both titles reflecting moral perfection, all right? And a word from God is a title never used of any other person in the Quran. So even the Quran affirms Jesus was sinless. So the two men live very different lives. And finally, the last one we'll go over, there's about 20 major differences here. We're only going over four. Is their confirmation. They confirm their calling in very different ways. Both the Quran and the Bible teaches God confirms his message and messengers with acts of God, miracles. Yet when it comes to Muhammad, this is missing. The great Muslim scholar Abdullah Yusuf Ali, who translated the Quran into English, one of the greatest Muslim scholars of the Quran. In fact, this is the only version, English version of the Quran that Muslims will acknowledge, by Abdullah Yusuf Ali. And he writes in the introduction, Muhammad did not do any miracle, did not perform miracles in the sense of reversing the laws of nature. For his mission was to appeal to reason, faith, and moral truth. Muhammad didn't do any miracles. Chapter 17 of the Quran records the people asking Muhammad to perform signs and miracles to confirm his call as a prophet. And the response was consistently, I'm only a messenger, not one who performs supernatural signs. In chapter 17 of the Quran, they say, we shall not believe in you until you cause a spring to gush forth for us from the earth, or until you have a garden of date palms and vines, or until you cause the sky to fall upon us in pieces, as you have threatened us. Say, glory be to my Lord. I am anything but a man, a messenger. And so Muhammad admits he is not one who does miracles. That belongs alone to Allah. He is but a prophet, a messenger of Allah. Compare that to Jesus Christ, who confirmed his claim to be the divine Son of God through his miraculous, sinless life and resurrection from the dead. Christ performed miracles demonstrating authority over every realm of creation, over nature. He calmed the storms and he walked on water, over sickness, healing those of all kinds of infirmities, over death, by raising several people from the dead. He showed the power to create, feeding 5,000 out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, demonstrating authority over the spiritual realm, over angels and demons. And if you read the life of Muhammad, he suffered from demon possession throughout his life, from his childhood to his calling, to even his time as a prophet. He suffered from demonic possession. Yet in Jesus Christ, when he came close, even the demons bowed down and screamed in terror at his coming. These miracles are authenticated by eyewitnesses and enemies alike. They're not legends, because remember, legends take 80 to 100 years to develop. The message of Christ was preached within 40 days of the empty tomb. In Acts chapter 2, Peter appeals to the crowd. He says, this man Jesus, who did miracles, of which you are all witnesses. All right? How could that message survive in Jerusalem in the face of all the enemies? You know, imagine if I came and I said, Donald Trump, a man attested to you by signs, wonders, and miracles. You would say, the man is crazy. He didn't do any. They're preaching that kind of messing. The man Jesus Christ, man you all saw, perform miracles in your midst, of which you are witnesses of. So they preach in Jerusalem, not in distant lands, in the face of eyewitnesses who could confirm the miracles of Christ, whether they were fact or fiction. The New Testament is written in the lifetime of the eyewitnesses. So if there's any exaggeration, the opponents who are looking to discredit Christianity would have discounted the claims right away. And we even have enemy attestation. The Talmud states that Jesus did powerful works, but they say that was witchcraft and sorcery. Josephus writes that Jesus did many wonderful works. And what's most significant is that Jesus prophesied and accomplished his own resurrection from the dead. No other person prophesied and accomplished their own resurrection. And the evidence for the resurrection's never been beat. I've debated it on radio, and scholars far more intelligent than I have debated it, and the evidence has never been beat. And even the Quran affirms that Jesus did miracles. The Quran affirms the virgin birth of Christ. The Quran affirms that Jesus did miracles. The Quran affirms that Jesus was sinless. And the Quran affirms Jesus did not die, but was raised to heaven. So even in the Quran, Jesus is greater than Muhammad. If you're a Muslim, wouldn't you want to study about this guy, Jesus, who is greater even in Muhammad, as the Quran testifies? So in Muhammad, we have a man whose claim to prophethood remains in question. His conduct is questionable. One who lacks the miraculous confirmation, and even his historical existence is in question. But in Christ, we have a reliable record of his life, a man who lived a sinless, miraculous life, who confirmed his claims to be the divine Son of God through his sinless, miraculous life and resurrection from the dead. So the choice is clear. It's in the one who said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me will never die," and confirmed that claim to his miraculous life and resurrection from the dead. Paul says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, the ruler over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be supreme. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The choice is obvious. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray for the downfall of Islam, and that many trapped in this ideology would be set free by the truth that comes through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I pray that many of our Muslim friends would come to faith in Christ. And we pray for our missionaries there in the Middle East. And we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in these lands, that you would protect them until they can fulfill their mission and reach many for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come to a close. Be sure to join us again here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number there is 483-0586, or email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit that subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Once again, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a great place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online. as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.